supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about telling lies.
There's no more hunger, no need for shelter. Isn't there enough to share? Or is it that we just don't care? We're here for a day or two. Let me show my salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum, salamu alaykum.
21st. What date is today? Today, Saturday, is the 11th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of September, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we open the Holy Quran at this time and we'll listen to chapter Tawbah from the Holy Quran, verse 119.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin.
O you who have believed, fear Allah and be with those who are true.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse addresses the believers and commands them to be in awe of Allah and to be pious. They should be always with the truthful ones too. Thus, the believers are commanded to do two things. The first is that they should be in awe of Allah, and it is evident that the state of being God-weary is very effective in men from the point of training. The second is that they ought to be with the truthful ones and to make friends with someone who are generally truthful. They should therefore avoid making friends with the liars.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever.
As I told you, we're speaking about telling lies. In traditions, two kinds of lies are mentioned, the small lie and big lie. Perhaps it is meant by a big lie that when one tells a lie about God, a prophet, or an infallible imam, it is a major sin which makes fasting invalid. Such a lie is blameworthy and causes a society to dismember. This happened in the early days of Islam, and its consequences have continued to exist until our time. Whatever losses Muslims suffer today arise from the same liars, who created deviation in people's beliefs. If ordinary lies cause division, bloodletting, and destruction, telling lies about God and the Messenger of Allah have not only the consequences of ordinary lies, but they ruin the beliefs and faith. An example is the fabrication of traditions by certain narrators.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the abominable consequences of telling lies in Islam. As we know, telling lies is a very unfavorable and really abominable characteristic that some people have. Religiously speaking, telling lies is strictly forbidden. And at the same time, we find that telling lies makes the liars, I mean, those people who practice it, to be away from the divine grace and divine blessings. Socially, people never believe in liars. And those people who have established in themselves the abominable practice of telling lies, they they always suffer from people's not paying them the attention they desire. In other cases that, according to psychologists, and as understood from certain hadiths related from the infallibles, we find that one of the main reasons for telling lies is that the person finds in him or herself an inferiority complex. And by telling lies and claiming so and so, he or she may want to remedy his psychological problems. Now we find that some people may tell lies because of being inflicted with poverty, or, for example, losing people's attention, or sometimes losing the transitory office positions they have held.
IRIV English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Now, tips to break a lying habit. Practice setting and sticking to your boundaries. This is today's special. We're speaking about tips to break a lying habit. It's not always easy to say no, especially if you don't want to hurt a friend's feeling or face possible consequences at work. But being more assertive about your needs can help you speak up about what's best for you. Start by giving complete answers, not ones that you think the other person wants to hear. For example, I can't take on more work this week because I need to focus on the task I already have, but I can help out next week. Tonight doesn't work for me, but I like to hang out. Could we try for later this week? Telling lies affects speech as well as deeds and character. Sometimes a human being does something that indicates his good nature, whereas his intention is not good. May God save us from such people who are like hypocrites. Sometimes a man may pretend to be God-fearing, one who remembers God a lot, who asks for forgiveness, who thanks God, who surrender himself to God, who is a man of knowledge and piety, whereas he is really not so. It is for the same reason that when some man in the presence of Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "I seek forgiveness of Allah," Imam alayhi salam said to him, "Do you know what the asking for Allah's forgiveness is? It is the degree of the exalted ones in paradise."
In every religion, in every nation, in every country, there is a general value. There is a general principle that everyone accepts, no matter what religion you follow. In fact, even if you're an atheist, even if you don't follow any religion, there's one common belief, there's one common principle, value that everyone accepts, and that is that lying is a vice. It's not a virtue. To everyone, lying is not a good thing, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Whether you believe that you will be punished in the next life for lying, or you don't believe that there's a punishment for lying. Lying in itself is unacceptable by everyone. This is an international principle, an international value, wherever you go. Those who lie are condemned. Those who tell the truth and speak the truth are praised. Even before Islam, before the advent of Islam, during the days of Jahiliyyah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, because he was truth-telling, they considered this a virtue. He was called As-Sadiq al-Amin. And these people would worship idols. They were pagans. They had no virtues. They had no principles. Yet lying was considered a vice. Truth-telling was considered a virtue. To say more than that, lying is unnatural. It's not in our systems. It's an acquired trait from society, from the community. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not put lying in our systems. Proof of that is that if you notice children don't lie. Even if it gets them into trouble, even if truth gets them into trouble, they'll say the truth. They don't mind. Why? Because they haven't learned to lie. They haven't learned this trick that they can get away with certain things by lying, until they notice that their older brother is lying, the older sister lies, the father lies to the mother lies to the father, then they pick up this quality. Otherwise, if you leave children on their own, they won't lie. Even in adults, if you notice some people, maybe you notice it in yourself, when you lie, you're not comfortable. You're not comfortable when you lie. Some people begin to stutter when they lie. Why? Because it's not natural. If it was natural, you would lie comfortably without feeling any regret, without feeling guilty. That's why there's lie detector tests. Those tests that detect whether you're lying or not.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, so we continue on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. Till then, fi amanallah.
بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات بسم الله لنا فتح ذكر الله لنا حسن لطف الله لنا عون نعلو به درجات نعلو به درجات
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about pondering another bezel of wisdom from Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, the seventh Imam of the household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The light of the body is in the eyes. If the sight is luminous, the whole body will be bright. The light of the spirit is in the brain, in the mind. If a person is really intelligent, he will acknowledge his Lord. If he acknowledges his Lord, he will clearly see his religion. If he ignores the affairs of his Lord, he will be having no religion. Like the body that does not live without a living soul, the religion does not live without true conviction. True conviction is proven only through the mind.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Imam Sadiq عليه السلام is reported to have said to one of those probably companions of his or Shia of his at that particular time, whose name is reported to be Masma. And this person or this companion of the Imam alayhi salam was one of those who mourned and who cried and who grieved over the tragedy of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And the Imam alayhi salam goes to this person and speaks to them and says the following, as reported in this tradition, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon your tears. May your tears be a benefit. You know, they are a blessing that you are able to do so. Then the Imam continues and says, do you know that you are regarded as being one of those who are deeply concerned about us? Now this is probably something specific to this particular person. It is not every single person who comes and cries. It is very possible that the Imam is speaking about this particular person. That you, O Masma, are regarded as one of those who are deeply concerned about us. You have extreme love for us. And the Imam continues regarding this person, because this person acted in a particular way that showed this concern. It's very easy for us to say, no, we love the Ahlul Bayt and we are concerned about them and we want to follow their footsteps and so on. No, it requires action. And the Imam is mentioning this in this tradition to this particular person, that your actions show that you are deeply concerned with us. As the Imam says that, and you are of those who are happy at our happiness and sad and aggrieved at our sadness and sorrow. Do know that, know this, that you shall witness the presence of my fathers, that is Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, even further the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, near you at the time of your death. Allahu Akbar. That this individual, because of this deep concern and love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Obviously, there was a lot of action involved, not just merely sitting and crying. But at the time, one of the most difficult times of a person's, you know, existence is the time where we leave this material world and go to the world beyond, or the metaphysical realm, the time where we kind of pass over. It's a very painful and difficult time. Therefore, we see at that particular time, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam will be at our side. Insha'Allah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to you, dear audience of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different interesting parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. We are going to talk about a famous reciter. Then we are going to listen to one of the recitations of that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. And besides these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic segments. So stay tuned. On August 12, 2010, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at a Quranic meeting said, "We have repeatedly said that you should gain a correct understanding of the ayahs you recite. It's a few years now that we have been saying this. Fortunately, it has been produced good results, and one can see this. But we should like to stress it even more. You should understand the outward meanings of Quranic ayahs the way an Arab speaker understands them. If we do this, we gain the opportunity and the capability to think deeply when we recite the Holy Quran." Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha. Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha had important titles, such as being the reciter of Sayyida Zainab Mosque in Cairo, Naqib al-Qurra, which means the chief of Quran reciters. He was a member of Egyptian Supreme Council of Islamic Affairs, director of International Center of Memorization of the Quran, member of the Testing Committee of Reciters in the Radio and Television, member of the Board of Holy Quran in the Endowment Ministry of Egypt, and a member of the Board of Construction of Mosques in Cairo. In addition to all these, he was the chairman of the jury panel in Islamic Republic of Iran's 15th International Quran Competition in 1998. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha reciting Suratul Isra, verses 6 and 7. Let's enjoy it.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ثم رسلنا لكم الكرة عليهم وأنزلناكم
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Isra, verses 6 and 7, recited by Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Shu'aisha, in his recitations, has used all of the maqams, the main maqams. And he has three registers. His voice is complete.
Mm-hmm.
In this recitation that we listened to, he used maqam Bayati in verse 6 and maqam Nahawand, followed by maqam Rast. So he used three maqams in a very short recitation.
Reciting two verses only.
Yes. And one of the characteristics of his recitation is that his voice keeps going up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike some other reciters, such as Abdul Basit and Minshawi, you know, if it's on like a wave,
it's not monotonous actually.
It's not just the monotonous, because their recitation is not monotonous either.
Mm-hmm.
But it keeps going up and down using different registers, the low register, the high register, the third register, which is the highest register, and he keeps alternating between the different registers and tones of his voice.
And now in terms of tajweed?
Yes, now the tajweed points. Tajweed points are really important. The more perfect your tajweed is, the more beautiful your recitation is going to be. Tajweed, fasaha, what else? The use of maqamat, and also breath control and voice control. If all of these elements are put together, you will have a very good recitation, especially tajweed and fasaha.
And I think waqf wal-ibtida is important.
Waqf wal-ibtida is important too, yes. But tajweed plays a very crucial role in the beauty of someone's recitation. Mm-hmm. And Sheikh Shuaishah has a very good tajweed. He was admitted to the radio while he was only 17 years old.
Yes.
That's how, you know, talented he was at that time.
Maybe he's the youngest.
Yeah, they say that he was the youngest reciter. Ruadadena, we have a dal with qalqala, a sakin dal. أمددناكم, again a dal with qalqala. أمددناكم بأموال. We have إخفاء of ميم ساكنة. Shuaishah applies all these rules correctly. There's no problem with him up to now. بأموال وبنين. We have إدغام of نون ساكنة into
واو. أموال و.
Yes, that's right. Akthara. The kaf was pronounced with the clicking sound.
And without qalqala.
Without qalqala. Akthara. Ra was pronounced with tafkhin. And also nafira. The ra again was pronounced with tafkhin. In ahsantum. The first noon sakina has
Ilhar.
The second has Ahsantum.
Here we have ikhfa.
We have ikhfa. And then we have another ahsantum, which is the same.
Where actually noon is not completely pronounced.
Yes. We have approximation of the place of articulation of noon. It means that whenever there is a noon sakina followed by one of the letters of ikhfa, the letters of ikhfa are huruf ma baqi, what remains other than the letters of idgham, idhar, and iqlab. So these three groups.
Yeah. Letters of idgham, I think, are six. Yarmalun, am I right?
Yes, yarmalun.
And letters of throats,
or also
letters
six.
Of idhar, are six. And one letter as a letter of iqlab. Altogether, they make 13, I think.
Yes, that's true.
Apart
that's
from right. these 13 letters, the rest are called
the 15 letters of ikhfa.
Are letters of
and ta is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what should you do? You should forget about the place of articulation of noon.
Mm-hmm.
You straight go ahead and place the tongue in the place of, not place, you make it get really close to the place of articulation of ta. Antum, ahsantum. It should not touch the place of articulation
yes.
of ta. And while the tongue is in that position, you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. In the word jaa, jaa, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ الْآخِرَةِ The jaa has matul muttasil.
A conjunct.
A conjunct mat. And you have to lengthen it to either four or five vowel counts.
And what he did was four, I think.
Yes. And also لِيَسُوءُ. This is also matul muttasil.
Muttasil, a conjunct mat. And here there's no option, actually.
Yeah, there's no other option, because the first one was lengthened to four vowel counts, and here this one has to also be lengthened to four vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
And also the akhira, the kha was pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim, the ra with tafkhim.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless أزور سيدي معتمدي ورجائي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي. To fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us. فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانِ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وَأَزَالَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَرَاتِبِكُمُ الَّتِي رَتَّبَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا. As you have been previously with us, dear listeners, we were talking about this part of the ziyarah. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ وَأَزَالَتْكُمْ عَمْ مَرَاتِبِكُمُ الَّتِي رَتَّبَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا. And may Allah expel from His mercy the community who removed you from your position and separated you from your stations where Allah had established you. You may remember in the previous program we talked about the word maqam and maratib. We said that maratib can be translated into stations, and also the word maqam is the place of standing, and it refers to the station of the political or social role of imam. Now, although we said that the maqam and maratib spoken about in this verse only refer to the apparent political and social position bestowed to them through divine appointment, there is a probability that they can also refer to their spiritual stations. But wait, this does not mean that the fundamental oppressors removed or separated them from their spiritual stations. It rather means that the oppressors hid and covered their spiritual stations by different ways, by, for example, depriving them of their role and slidelining them such that the people did not realize their spiritual stations. So, a similar usage is found in a tradition of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam,
during his time, there was a group of notorious people who claimed divinity for Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, whereupon the Imam cursed them. In one of his statements, he employs the same phrase and uses azalana to signify a kind of cover. The Imam is reported to have said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَالَ فِينَا مَا لَا نَقُولُهُ فِي أَنفُسِنَا. May Allah's curse be on someone who says about us what we do not claim for ourselves. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَزَالَنَا عَنِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ. And curse be on someone who separates us from being slaves of Allah. So, Imam Sadiq here employs the phrase أَزَالَنَا عَنِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. لله. He separated us from being slaves of Allah. This does not in any way mean that they were actually separated from really being the utter slaves of Allah. Rather, it means that the extremists, or the so-called ghulat, depicted them to possess the station of divinity. Hence the phrase azalana alludes to a kind of covering of their real station, which was their utter submission to God, or the so-called ubudiyya.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right, or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, this can be claimed that the words maqam and maratib in this verse can also refer to their apparent meaning, but there is also the probability of the words referring to their spiritual stations, and we should not claim that them being removed from their spiritual stations is real. This means that the others, the enemies and oppressors, try to cover and hide their spiritual stations. So both of these probabilities in this part of the ziyarah double the chance of those enemies and oppressors being the subject to the la'an of the Almighty Allah, and not just the Almighty Allah, but the infallibles and the prophets and the people afterwards. That's why we must ask the Almighty Allah to banish them from His mercy. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَمْ مَقَامِكُمْ وَأَزَالَتْكُمْ عَمْ مَرَاتِبِكُمُ الَّتِي رَتَّبَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهَا. May Allah expel from His mercy the community who removed you from your position and separated you from your stations where He had established you. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mo'jiza kardid. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر الله اکبر خمینی رهبر الله اکبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم in the name of Allah the exalted the most compassionate and the most merciful salam hello and welcome to our audience and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program the man who changed the world a program dedicated to the memory of a great leader and the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul. We got to the point in this program where we've reached a stage where we've discussed the fact that Imam Khomeini, for those who don't have a belief in religion, will be an enigma. For those of us who do believe in Islam, he's not an enigma. He's the living essence and embodiment of the message of Islam. Dr. Hasni, very well, warm welcome to you on the program. Salam, and thanks for being with us. Yeah, really, we've enjoyed your contributions in the previous programs as well. But Dr. Hasli, as you quite rightly point out, and as we have said over and over again, you said that Imam Khomeini, a great man like Imam Khomeini, is like a mountain. And you said we have to stand back and take the tapestry of the context in which this mountain is located and look at the features of this mountain as well, in terms of its height, in terms of its appearance, in terms of its color. We talked about the fact that Imam Khomeini is a mountain.
You know, the problem with us is this.
Mm.
We only care about all five senses, you know?
That's right, absolutely.
In order to understand something beyond that.
Beyond that.
You have to go and try very hard in order to understand.
Well, let's go beyond
the
that.
Significance.
Let's go beyond that. Let's do it. Let's make an attempt, even in our own humble way. As I say, we are not in any way going to fathom Imam Khomeini, because he was a man of God, a true man of God, the way of life of Islam as it should be lived by all of us. And as I say, I myself am personally sometimes ashamed that we are not the kind of Muslims we ought to be in terms of following the legacy of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, let alone following an example like Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. But let's put it in this context. Let's now look at something that, as you say, is beyond those five senses. Because there is something about Imam Khomeini which is beyond those five senses. We talked about that he was speaking from a time, because he speaks from the timelessness of the Quran. Because you told us there's no boundary here, isn't there? It's limitless. So if we want to touch this hikmah, if we want to touch this wisdom, I want to look at the fact that Imam Khomeini has said things which, under normal circumstances, and I mean in the context that many scholars have not said anything different from what Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, may God bless his soul, has said at the end of his life, in terms of the legacy of the Prophet being that I leave two weighty things, two valuable things, the Holy Quran and the infallibles, my family. Now, many scholars of the Ahlul Bayt, great scholars of the Ahlul Bayt, great philosophers from the school of Ahlul Bayt have mentioned this, but there are other schools as well, aren't there? There are other schools in the Muslim world as well, which also have their own reasoning, their own philosophy, their own understanding of the Quran. And they don't quite look at things the way we understand them from the school of Ahlul Bayt. And yet Imam Khomeini says the same thing, but the impact is entirely different. Other scholars have said before, but we've had many arguments about this, and there have been many controversial programs dedicated to this subject, that whether this is a sahih, whether this is mutawatir, is it, is